Why do we use it? Why do we use tactical empathy? To turn our counterparts into a teammate in a problem-solving venture. Two people are coming together to overcome the adversary. What is the adversary? It's the situation. What brings you to the table? We talked about negotiation being a discovery process. One of the most effective ways to have someone open up to you is to have them like you. One of the ways that they will begin to like you is when you demonstrate that you can see the world through their eyes. Now, this is going to require an increase in your emotional intelligence. The increase in your ability to perceive the emotions, to access and generate emotions, to assist with understanding emotion. We've been talking about emotional intelligence ad nauseum since probably 1990. Books have come out on emotional intelligence, on why it's so important. And yet we still talk about the same things because most of us fail to listen to the level that it takes to demonstrate true tactical empathy. The good thing about emotional intelligence is you can continue to develop that well into your 80s. Your IQ, you are who you are by the time you reach 13, 14 years of age. And it's try as you may, it's not going to get much better. But with emotional intelligence, you can continue to develop that well into your 80s. Yes, please.
Okay. With the slide that you just were on, like it had a couple of different parts of the sentence. The part that I, thanks everyone for listening, have the most trouble with is to access and generate emotions so as to assist thought. I don't know. So do you have certain levels like where people have more challenge than others in this longer sentence? Like different parts of this sentence that are harder to effectuate in your emotionally intelligent discussions?
All right. So that's a great pull. This quote comes from Salavi and Mayer, who together wrote a dissertation on emotional intelligence for their PhD back in 1990. Generating emotion so as to assist thought. The way that I would clear that up is generating positive emotions to assist thought, because those are the only emotions that do assist with your ability to process. And to your specific question, do some people have a harder time doing that? And the answer is yes, because we've been conditioned that negotiation is a competitive exercise. We know that both parties are better off if both parties cooperate, but the dilemma is we don't know what the mindset of is the other side, so we default to the worst. That's what our brain does, and the worst is being competitive. So you go in wanting to compete with somebody who you believe is going to be competing with you, and you both wind up with worse outcomes. It's all in your ability to change your mindset. The harder it is for you to change your mindset and understand that it's not about you, the harder it is going to be for you to generate those positive emotions that are going to assist the way you process things. And so, yes, some people have a more difficult time than others. Who are those people? For example, the assertives have a harder time doing it. The assertives are there to get things done, period. And they don't have a lot of time to think about accessing or generating appropriate emotions to assist in thought. They've got a game plan. They know where they want to go. So it's harder for the assertive, because anything that comes outside of their game plan is viewed largely as a failure for them. And so for the assertives, it takes a little bit more effort. What is driving them? If you demonstrate it, they're more likely to sign, they're more likely to perform, they're more likely to refer you. Your demonstration of tactical empathy will make a determination whether they want to work with you again. Go back to what Kent talked about earlier. If he had been better at tactical empathy, their anger level with him in the moment would have come down sooner, even if they didn't make the agreement. Because of his demonstration of tactical empathy, they will make a decision that they want to work with them again, or with him again. Dave's got a hand up. Troy.
Yes, sir. I was just going to say, just kind of flip that too, not just about them, but I've found that tactical empathy has helped me to decide if I want to continue a deal with somebody as well. Through that, I found that I was like, yeah, clearly this person's motivation is not where I want it to be. And that was like a clear sign for me to be like, okay, we're done. Good luck. So I just wanted to say, sometimes it can give you the help, the ability to decide it, how you want to structure things or move forward with it.
Oh, so can you give a little bit more detail on that? Because that's an interesting concept. I think I know where you're going, but I don't want to assume. So can you give a little bit more context?
Yes, sir. In this case, we were trying to decide if somebody's going to take leadership inside of one of our new organizations. And on the surface, it sounded like it was a situation that would be good and beneficial. But using empathy, using mirroring and labeling, I was finally able to dig that one of the real motivations for this person to take it didn't exactly fit. almost like they slipped up in a way. And revealed some information that made me give pause about whether or not it was the right move in the end. So.
And based on your use of the skills, you found out that the motivations were not aligned with what your expectations were.
Yes. And especially what was on the surface, that surface level belief of why the person wanted to do what they did. But then through it, we found out what the real motivation was on what they wanted to do, and it just wasn't in line.
Yeah, nice job. Because let's say you hadn't gone into that level of trying to understand the motivation, and you just stayed on the surface. You now have a person in a leadership role that is probably going to be a disaster. And so you were able to flesh that out using the quick 2+1 and attempting to demonstrate tactical empathy on your side of the table, which provided even more information. And that information wouldn't have come out if you hadn't been curious about the motivation.
Yes, sir.
And had you just taken it on the surface level, how much pain down the road have you saved yourself? How much pain have you saved the organization?
Yes, sir. I feel like sometimes when you're doing an interview with somebody, they already have this pre-planned, these are the right things to say, mm-hmm. Like when you ask the question of, why do you want this job? It's probably the thing that they want, that they've already practiced for. But when you start to ask it sounds like, or it feels like, then it starts to break away that candy shell, that hard candy shell that they got. And you start to get into the nougaty inside and figure out what actually is, what they're actually really doing or why they really want the job. And it's just, so it can really be used for your own good as well as theirs.
And it's in hiring practices and considering for promotions and the like, it's a great way to vet them without them feeling like they're being vetted. Because you're absolutely right. They can go online and they can Google all the greatest interview questions in the world and prepare themselves for that. But all of those interview questions have never been produced by somebody who is Black Swan trained. And as a result, they get canned answers, which really doesn't give you a good portrait of who you're actually interacting with. And the sooner you know who you're interacting with, the better or the faster you can make a decision about whether or not you want that interaction to continue.